tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to another episode of Quick Charge. It's July 8th, 2024, and I'm your host, Joe Boris. We're going to start today's news off with Tesla. Tesla's CEO Elon Musk is going to war against Tesla shorts again. Tesla's stock was up over 30% last week on news that its sales hadn't fallen quite as far as we thought they might have, and it looks like the shorts are circling the stock again. Hedge fund tracker Hazeltree notes that short interest on Tesla stock from hedge funds has increased over the last month. Now, this is an X. I don't think we call them tweets anymore, but this is a tweet on X from Elon Musk saying, once Tesla fully solves autonomy and has Optimus in volume production, anyone still holding a short position will be obliterated, even Gates. The CEO specifically mentions Bill Gates, who has been known to short Tesla stock at times. Now, this is really interesting because Elon has gone on record saying, if Tesla doesn't have robotaxi, if they don't have full self-driving, the stock is worth basically zero. So now he's saying it basically has infinite value once they solve that. So it'll be interesting to see what actually ends up happening or if Tesla can fully solve autonomy and Optimus. And those things remain to be seen. Let us know what you think of that in the comments. But it does seem like external market pressure is finally starting to get to Tesla. And a Model Y was recently spotted with what appears to be camouflage over the front and rear of the car. Now, that begs the question, is a refresh coming? Tesla obviously has some of the oldest vehicles in the marketplace, which is kind of a weird thing to say, because to a lot of people, a Tesla is still a new, very modern car. But at the end of the day, we've got the Model S, which was first shown in 2009. We've got the Model X, which was shown a few years later, and which feel like they've been around now for like 6-7 years. I think they've actually been around quite a bit longer, with the original Model 3 being shown back in 2015. So the public is very familiar with these cars. The public knows what they look like. The Model 3 was recently updated with the Highland update, which gave it a little bit sleeker headlights and taillights. It will be interesting to see what a refreshed Model Y eventually looks like, if it follows on that subtle enhancement sort of ideology that's gone into the Model S and Model 3 updates. But hey, anything could be going on under there. It could be completely new. We might get a new nose cone. Regardless, the Model Y is not the only Tesla vehicle that might feel the need to update in an increasingly aggressive market. The Model S and X sales are crashing, and Tesla is hiding it with its opaque delivery reporting. This is an article by Fred Lambert posted a couple days ago. Earlier this week, so obviously last week, Tesla disclosed 21,551 other models delivered in Q2. As previously reported, Cybertruck recalls gave us a good idea of deliveries in Q2. We put Cybertruck deliveries at 8,000 to 9,000 units that quarter. If we subtract those from Tesla's disclosure, that puts Model S and X combined sales at around 12,000 to 13,000 units. That's a 31 to 37% down from the 19,225 Model SX deliveries reported during the same period last year. And anytime you see a model decline more than 30% year over year, that is certainly significant. Now, one of the reasons Model S sales might be taking such a nosedive is that Lucid sales are up. Lucid beat Q2 delivery goals after a record quarter, which was powered by significant discounts. In 2021, the first Lucid Air models were priced at around $100,000. Today, you can buy a base Lucid Air starting at $69,900. Now, obviously, there was always going to be a less expensive Air that came out later, but there's still been an aggressive amount of discounting and promotion on Lucid's part. And with its new Gravity electric SUV launching later this year, Lucid hopes to carry that momentum into the second half of 2024. Now, the Gravity is a much more conventional type SUV than the Model X. It is still in that large premium luxe category. And I think in terms of fit and finish, there's nobody who's been in a Lucid who still thinks a Model S is in the same league when it comes to fit, finish, materials, paint, anything like that. So the Gravity should blow that away and should really drive growth for Lucid. And I think to the detriment of Model S and Model X, especially among early adopters and really big fans of Tesla and the Model X, who want to see what Peter Rawlinson is doing with this vehicle. So obviously, Peter Rawlins, that is the CEO of Lucid, was the chief architect and engineer of the Tesla Model S, so certainly knows what it would take to build a Tesla killer, and that's what Lucid has tried to be all along. On the lower end of the market, Hyundai, Kia, and Subaru are offering the best electric SUV deals in July, starting at $199 a month. This is an article by Peter Johnson. And he's pulled a number of different deals out of Cars Direct and eventually settled down on these top three, with the Hyundai Ioniq 5 coming in at $259 a month with $399 due at lease signing, effectively $380 a month. The 2024 Kia Niro EV Wind at $199 a month with $39.99 due at lease signing, again, effectively $336 a month. And the Subaru Solterra Premium, $329 a month with $329 due at lease signing, effectively $338 a month. These are great deals. They're certainly going to put pressure on Model Y, but they don't hold a candle to this Colorado deal for a 2025 Nissan Leaf that you can lease for $19 a month. This is largely due to something called incentive layering or incentive stacking, depending on what part of the industry you're in, what part of the country you're in. This is where you take federal incentives, state incentives, local utility incentives, and as long as they're written in such a way that they can be used together, you can stack them and get some incredible, incredible deals. We've seen electric school buses sold at a fraction of the cost of their diesel competition. And of course, at that point, why wouldn't you electrify? So this is kind of the same thing. This is a Nissan Leaf. No matter how you feel about the Leaf, if it's not your style, if you don't like the CHAdeMO connection, for $19 a month, it's really hard to pass up. Now, this is an ad that one of the Nissan dealers running this promotion has run, saying, as seen on YouTube. This has gotten a little bit viral here, but Michelle has all the details here for you to check out. There's a $695 acquisition fee, $699 dealer handling fee not included, monthly payment with fees and first payment included is $79. Colorado has a generous $8,100 state EV tax credit. There's a $1,000 Nissan EV customer cash bonus applied. And to get all of these price reductions, you do have to be a Colorado resident. With car dealers, there's always a catch. But still, Tesla better hope that Model Y refresh gets here soon, because Ford apparently is bringing back some kind of legendary nameplate. Now, Peter goes into this. There's a lot of speculation here about what exactly Ford is going to show us later this week. The consensus seems to be that it's some kind of electrified crossover, and then it's going to carry the Capri name. There's some reason to believe that that makes sense, because obviously Capri is a very popular sporting name for Ford in Europe, where we think this vehicle is going to be sold. And the Mustang and Capri in the United States during the Fox Body days shared a platform. So the Mercury Capri, the Ford Mustang, they were both Fox Body two-door coupes and hatchbacks. So the idea that something similar to a Mustang Mach-E, maybe a little bit smaller, a little bit more affordable for a European market, carrying that Capri nameplate does make sense from a Ford historical angle. It'll be interesting to see what eventually comes of that. But the Capri is not the only electric crossover that people are talking about right now. An electric NASCAR racer arrived at the Chicago Street Race this weekend, packing 1,300 horsepower and all-wheel drive. The car was carrying ABB sponsorship when it made its debut. ABB is the official sponsor of NASCAR's electrification efforts. So any on-track charging or any NASCAR-owned tracks that put in EV charging are going to be doing so with ABB-manufactured and produced chargers. Now, the vehicle itself is a crossover type shape with all-wheel drive. That's obviously the hottest segment in the automotive industry right now, is that midsize crossover. And NASCAR says this was developed with its existing OEM partners, Chevy, Ford, and Toyota. This makes a ton of sense, because as much as we might want NASCAR to use coupes or sports sedans or whatever else, Ford, GM do not sell sedans in the United States, and the Camry is becoming more and more rare as midsize crossovers, five passenger crossovers, take on that family hauler role that sedans historically have had in the United States. Now, it's also worth noting that other manufacturers produce vehicles that are stylistically similar to this one. The Chrysler Airflow concept that was shown last year, Kia's EV6, VW ID4. You could make this NASCAR chassis look like any of those vehicles with the right stickers and window cutouts. And I think NASCAR knows that, and it's got some ambition there to grow their brand, to grow their product offering by bringing in new manufacturers and new participants. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not an electric series or an electric exhibition event is going to be enough to do that. Now, finally, as we talk about the huge horsepower of that electric NASCAR, I have to mention the huge battery that goes into these massive electric forklifts at the Port of Los Angeles. Now, I put electric forklifts here in the title because that's kind of what they look like, and I think most people can conceive of what a forklift is. This is actually called a top handler. It works just like a forklift. The little things go up and down, but instead of putting forks underneath something that's going to move and lifting it, it actually grabs it from the top. And these are big enough to take 80, 90,000 pound containers off of ships and stack them in terminals up to five or six containers high. So these are massive, massive machines, and they have an absolutely massive 1 megawatt hour battery. Obviously, it says 1 megawatt. It's 1 megawatt hour. That's 1,000 kilowatt hours. That is bananas. But it makes sense when you consider how much work and the amount of metal and steel and everything else that these things are moving on a given shift. And the way that these are operated, they have to operate on back-to-back shifts. These were manufactured by a company called Taylor Machine Works. They've been developing these for years. And Taylor says that those giant batteries are enough for each one of these vehicles to do 2 full shifts back-to-back, moving hundreds of tons of materials and to be ready to go again after a 5-hour session with 180 kilowatt DC fast charger. Now, there's a ton of stuff in the article about this, about why they don't use grid connection, about why they're not using in-ground charging to make that battery pack smaller. And I encourage you to check those out. Let us know what you think of that in the comments. That's all I've got for today, July 8th. If you liked what you heard, be sure to like and subscribe. If you didn't, be sure to come to the comments and tell us what it was that you didn't like so we can ignore you. Have a great day.